Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise as you have your seats. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, two things I want to share with you. First of all, we got not only is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in the place today, but we got the homecoming king of Osborne High School in the place today. Can he say, where's Chance? Where's Chance? Chance. The homecoming king of Osborne High School. Bless you, sir. Bless you. Amen. Amen. Just want to recognize you, man. Just want to recognize you. Just want to recognize you. Amen. Quarterback for Osborne High School. Amen. Amen. Talented brother. Amen. We thank God for him and his family. Amen. Amen. Also want to tell you, that's one. Number two, I want to tell you, I just like just getting it over with. I came here early to shoot some videos for some things, upcoming things with Minister Chris. And I got all my stuff together. I thought I got all my stuff together. I had everything together except my socks. So I want to get out the way. You like, when I step down, you're like, as a Tubbs. That's Tubbs, Ricardo Tubbs. Miami Vice. Y'all don't understand it. Okay. There you go. There you go. I'm bringing it back. On accident. Amen. Amen. So y'all won't be looking at it at my ankles. He got white socks on. What are you doing? Amen. We're starting a series this month. And you got my graphic up, Bobby? I ain't never scared series. Some of y'all remember that song, Bone Crusher. I ain't never scared. I ain't never scared series. It's for y'all time. Some of y'all don't know. Y'all like, y'all look, y'all young. We're talking about the I ain't never scared because 2 Timothy 1:7, I think it says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Hallelujah. So this is not just a reminiscent song. This is a cry of the believer. I ain't never scared. Because God, this fear, listen to this, is a spirit. It's not an emotion. It manifests in emotion, but fear is a spirit. He said, God has not given us the spirit of fear. Fear is a spirit, but power, love, and a sound mind. Now, let me balance that. It doesn't mean you won't be tempted to fear. It doesn't mean you won't be afraid, but you won't allow that fear to take you out of place and out of position, or better yet, it won't allow you to dethrone God from his place in your life. Amen. So what we're going to do, we're starting this series, and what I love about this is going to be a tag team with our ministerial staff. We're going to have our ministerial staff, we're going to take elements of this series. I'm beginning this morning, we're going to teach from the fear of rejection. We're going to talk about the fear of failure. We're going to talk about the fear of judgment. And then we're going to contrast it with the fear of God. When you hear the fear of God in the Bible, it's not talking about you to be afraid of God. That speaks to the reverence of God. So we got our ministers. We're going to cover that. We're going to alternate ministers with our Bible studies, with our life our life groups and our soul food. So you don't want to miss this series. You don't want to miss it. Cuz we've got myself, then we've got who's coming? Is it Chris? Are you Chris is next, and then Minister Diggs, and then Frank. They're coming. So you want to be here. You don't want to miss this series. It's the I Ain't Never Scared series. I ain't never scared. Amen. Amen. Fact of the matter is we've been hiding when we should be advancing. Amen. Amen. And we're gonna talk about that, getting that confidence back. Look, we're gonna start with 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. The title of this message, this I Ain't Scared is the title of the series. The message for today is they don't like you. And fear, we're talking about the fear of rejection. Right off the cuff, I'm gonna tell you right now, in case you don't know, there are gonna be some people that just don't like you. You can do everything right, and they still not gonna like you. Too many of us let that one truth take us out of position and allow us to dethrone God from his position in our life. Because when pleasing others become more important than pleasing God, we got a problem. And the fear of rejection will tempt us and pull us into that very thing. Some of you are saying, I would never do that. But if you're doing stuff to make other people happy that goes against what God has called you to do, you have just dethrone God and enthrone them as your God. Because what they think about you matters more than what God has declared over your life. We're talking about fear of rejection. They don't like you, and 1 John chapter 4, we're gonna read verse 13 through 18. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. It says, by this we know with confident assurance that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given to us his Holy Spirit. We who were with him, I'm reading from the Amplified, we who were with him in person have seen and testify as eyewitnesses that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses and acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know by personal observation and experience and have believed with deep, constant faith the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides continually in him. In this union and fellowship with him, love is completed and perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment with assurance and boldness to face him. Because as he is, so are we in this world. That is so powerful right there. There is no fear in love. Pausing for effect. There is no fear in love. I'm going to give you the cliff notes of this message right here. The Bible says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. It didn't say he has love. He is love. And here the text says, there is no fear in love. Love is God. So if you are in God, I ain't never scared. That's a cliff note, so we're going to run it back. There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But perfect, complete, full-grown, I like that, full-grown love drives out fear. Complete, full-grown love drives out fear. That's good. That's good right there, because some of you are saying, but Pastor, I'm in God, but I still have fear right here. I mean, what that says is we still got some growing to do. It's okay. We just still got some growing to do. Can I just suggest to you that what we perceive to be failures are simply the marks where we need to improve in love? If you cuss somebody out this week as a believer and it convicted your heart, you repented, asked God for forgiveness, you shouldn't let that condemnation go any further than when you said, God, forgive me. What that conviction simply says is there's still some area for growth in your life. Because God, he said there's no condemnation to those who are, look at this, in Christ Jesus. Okay. But perfect, complete, full-grown love drives out fear because fear involves the expectation of divine punishment. So the one who is afraid of God's judgment is not perfect in love, has not grown into a sufficient understanding of God's love. If you're afraid that God's gonna get you, you're not matured in love. Because God is not a bully. And he does not beat his kids. He's not abusive to his children. But if you're afraid of what he might do to you, it's an indication that love has not fully grown in your heart. And it's okay. It's okay. But I need to tell you, you shouldn't be comfortable there, because you live beneath your privilege as a kingdom citizen. If you perceive God to be some cosmic bully who's waiting to bash you across your knuckles when you mess up, you are living so beneath your privilege as a kingdom citizen. And fear has a permanent seat at the table where you sit. Amen. We're going to do better. Look at your name and say, we're going to do better. There are 10 things that I found that was on many of the lists, the top 10 fears among Americans. Top 10 American fears. Number one is public speaking. Number two ranked was heights. Three was terrorism. Four was insects and bugs. Five was financial problems. You scared of a bug? More. There was a spider this week. I'm on Jordan Sydney bypassed the front door. There's a spider this week in front on the stoop. She saw it. She said, "Oh," and went out the garage. Number five are financial problems. Number six, deep water. Number seven, sickness. Number eight, death. Number nine, loneliness. And number 10, flying. These are the top 10 fears among Americans. Now, we're going to talk about the fear of rejection. Rejection is... One definition of rejection is to be ill-received or not received at all. And to fear your reception, your warm reception, is at the heart of that fear of rejection. When I feel rejected, I feel like I am not wanted. Typically, that comes when we present something, when we produce something, and if they don't like it, then I take it you don't like me. If I prepare my pancakes, my world-famous pancakes, we hadn't had them in a while. I gotta build up supply, demand. I gotta build up demand for it. if you don't like my pancakes, there was a time I would get offended. There was a time I'd feel like you rejected me. Look at somebody say, growth. There was a time when you, to reject, you reject, when you rejected batter, flour, eggs. Y'all thought I was going to tell you the ingredients. No. Might have been boiled at night, but it wasn't last night. When you reject what I produce, if I'm not rooted, listen at this, ooh, if I'm not rooted as a believer in what God has done, I'll take your rejection of what I produce as a rejection of me, my person. You got to understand, what I produce is not who I am. I understand that the more I understand who God is. Hallelujah. If we assume that God does not love me if I don't get the blessing that I prayed for or the answer to my prayers, then I equate his production or his activity with him. But if God never blesses you another day in your life, he'd still be God. Rejection says, and fears, the fear of rejection is rooted in the understanding or the belief, the erroneous belief that if you reject what I produce, then you reject my person. That's simply not the case. We're talking about this fear of rejection. It starts at an early age, not being picked for kickball, not making this football team or the cheerleading squad, not getting the job you hoped for, not marrying the person you thought you'd marry. We all have experienced rejection. The question isn't if I'm rejected. The statement is when I'm rejected. Because if you live long enough, you're going to encounter some type of rejection. I remember growing up. I remember when Sydney was little, and she preferred her mother more than me. I got feelings of rejection. Forget the fact that was her food source. It didn't matter to me. I felt rejected. Maybe it was because I didn't have nothing to produce. But for a brief moment, I felt rejected from an infant. Looking back over it now, I'm like, how silly. But the fear, the ungodly spirit of fear will have us in situations that are totally out of character, out of order with what God wants for us and expects of us as his kingdom disciples. But if we give that spirit any life, it will move, it will shift God's position in us. So we've got to fight the spirit of fear. We got to reject the spirit of fear, especially when it comes to rejection. Now, when these things happen, the question is, how will we respond? That's the thing. How are we going to respond? For the kingdom citizen, rejection only comes, listen to this, if you're writing anything down, write this down. Rejection only comes from people. God never rejects us. Thank you for that one half hand clap. As a kingdom citizen, one who is blood washed, one who is bought with the price, one who has received the gift of salvation, one who has gotten a measure of Holy Spirit in their life, as a kingdom citizen, God never rejects us. He will never reject you. Even in your sin, he won't reject you. Even in your faults, he won't reject you. Even in the things you messed up, you tore up, you broke up, he will not reject you. He says, with a sincere heart and a contrite spirit, he says, the Lord will not despise. There is a level of unconditional love for his people that God said, I'll love you in spite of. I'll love you in the midst of. I'll love you beyond what you've done, what you've not done, how you made a mess of it. People may reject you, but God will never reject you. Somebody need to hear that this morning. You need to get that in your spirit. There are going to be some people that just because you're wearing a color, they won't like you. They won't like your brand of tennis shoe or your brand of pantyhose, and they just will reject you. But God will never, he won't ever reject you. He won't ever downgrade you because you didn't meet the mark. Because here's what he knows. You're still moving. You're still growing. You're not there yet. And he will not condemn you because you have not gotten to the place that he's always seen you. He understands you in process. See, when we were kids growing up, we got rejected for everything. We could get rejected. Listen, pimples. I didn't get many pimples. I just got one or two. But them one or two I got, Jesus. No. I mean, they be like mountains. Why you laughing like that? You ain't gonna be laughing like that. I mean, it be right here in the middle of your forehead or right here on your nose. Where I'm like, oh, and the wind would blow and it would hurt. like I said, I didn't get many, but I just got. But the ones like you get rejected by everything. I had. Friends, so I call them so-called friends now. They would talk to me and they say, you want to go with us? I said, yeah. They said, no, you need to consult your partner. I said, who are you talking about? They said, consult your partner. I'm like, man. That's what they did. That's what they did. Consult your partner. You got enough money for who? For your friend. You're going to the movie. You got to pay for him too. People get rejected for everything. Pimples, clothes, who you liked, who you talked to, what you drove, your hair, if it was too short, if it was whatever. They rejected. Kids can be mean. And some of them kids never grew up. And so now they're adults doing the same thing. So I'm telling you, people will reject you. And what I found, people who do that are compensating for the inadequacies in their life. Thank you for them two hand claps. Anybody quick to talk about you, they're trying to divert attention away from them. Oh, that's good. That's good. Everybody, the person that's quick to joan on you, now you know, that's joaning, but then there's something that's malicious. You know, they cut you and then they twist it like that. Yeah, that's called they're insecure about themselves, but that's a whole other message. The fact is, people will reject us. God never will. God never will. Life is not accident proof. We're gonna run into situations that will either hurt us or bring us to the place of damage. That's why we got airbags, we got sellers, we got life insurance, we got locks, because accidents happen. Accidents happen. I got a couple of facts I want to leave you. I got three things I want to share with you, and then I'm going to load up my wagon and get out your way. Number one, I need you to understand this. Not everyone is going to like us. I want to make that clear. I want to make that official. Now, everyone is going to like us. Matthew 5:10-11 says it like this: blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. He said, blessed. When I first looked at him, I'm like, blessed? I'm blessed when they talk about me? I'm blessed when they insult me? Yes, you're blessed when they do it because of me. Because you got to understand, if somebody's doing that and you're doing the will of God, and they're insulting you and belittling you and putting you down and casting you down. He says here in the text, they're not doing it because of who you are. They're doing it because of who God is in you. And this is important for the believer because we shouldn't be our own. We are ambassadors of Christ. Here's what I found out. Any believer who gets broke up because somebody insults them or talks about them in a negative way, that it's more them than God that showed up. Ouch. I know that hurt. I know that hurt. But if somebody can talk to you and pull you out of the spirit, here's what they did was, come here, Ron. What they did was, this is God, because he's bigger than me. I meant taller. Just. When you're in Christ, when you're in Christ, this is all you should see. When you're in Christ, you shouldn't see me. You should see Christ. How you doing, Jesse? You're laughing, but you shouldn't hear me. You should hear Christ. You should hear Christ. Jesse, what you did was terrible. It was horrible. I don't know what you were thinking when we did it. We're going to have to dock your pay for doing that, Jesse. How you going to respond, Jesse? What you got to say for yourself? When you're in Christ, you don't hear me. You should hear Christ. Here's how we know that you step outside. I walked in like this. We need to tell you, talk to you, Jesse. You did something that just was just totally. We lost the account. We lost that. It looks bad on the company. What you got to say about yourself? I thought you understood the program, Jesse. I thought you knew what to do, Jesse. What are you gonna do about it, Mr. Radford? Didn't you go to school? You said you had a degree, Mr. Radford. You said you were qualified, Mr. Radford. What are you gonna do? Excuse me, Jesus. Let me tell you something. When you're in Christ, all they should hear and see is Christ. Now, let me balance that. That don't mean you go, thou art good today. Glory to the Most High God. That don't mean you speak in old English and you're quoting text all day. What it does, you say you are filtering the what comes your way through Christ, through him. You're filtering it through him. Negative thing, it's being filtered through him so that what comes out of you is more of him and less of you. So Matthew was saying, when they insult you and talk about you and belittle your work and your production, if you're still in him, it's going to filter through him. And anything that comes out, it's got to come through him. Amen. So you got to understand, they're not going to like it. And listen, anybody who meant to hurt you, They're not going to like what comes through him. Anybody that meant to oh, I'm going to cut him now. I'm going to get him now. I'm going to cut her now. I'm going to make her lose her religion. When their intent is to harm, their intent is to hurt, and they keep getting a response from him, then they get upset. And let me just say this. Is it going to hurt? It's going to hurt. Because we love to think the best of ourselves. Anybody who doesn't love to think the best of themselves got problems already. You should want to think the best of yourself. You may feel it, but listen, if you're in him, you're in the best place to be healed. You're in the best place to have those wounds addressed and wrapped up because you're in him. This right, and I'm giving you the cliff notes of everything. I got two more points, but I'm not going to get to them, I don't think. But this right here, in him. Second John, he talks about, he's always referring back to God's position. He's referring back to God's position. And this, when it comes to the things that bring us the greatest fears, rejection, judgment, all these things that bring us the greatest fears, we have to make sure that God's position is solid in our life. I know that Christ's position isn't solid in my life when I hear myself and not him. I know that I'm not as connected with God when I let someone's intent to hurt me stay with me longer than it should. Because if it does, it starts to fester and infect not just that area, but other areas in my life. Am I talking to you in here this morning? But if I stay with him, you may cut me, I may bleed, but he pours in the oil and the wine, and he ministers to me, and he heals me so that thing doesn't affect other areas in my life. Thank you. Here's my question, and I'm gonna hasten to my seat. What perceived or actual rejections have you endured that had you stayed in God, It would have been easier to heal, but now it's taken months and some years because I wasn't as close to God as I needed to be. And the fact that you hurt me the way you did was an indication that I was no longer in him. I'd actually stepped out of him. You know, you can come to church and still not be in him. I'm going to say this right here. I'm going to pass with you for a minute. But if you've been thinking about the game since you've been here, you might not really be in it. We got real quiet here, Chris. I'm not saying nothing. The game's not evil. The game's not evil. The game's not bad. I love the game. But if that has preoccupied your mind, it might be an indication. You might be stepping out. You might have a toe outside of him. Because those are the areas he is your shield and your buckler. He is your shield and your buckler, which means the insults that they hurl towards you, that they throw towards you, that they sling, the arrows they sling towards you, they're not going to hit you if you stay in him. He is your shield. The Bible says your exceeding great reward. What is the reward? To go through hell and not be burned. Hey, God. Hey, God. What's the reward? to go through the diagnosis and come out healed and delivered and set free in the name of Jesus, because he is your shield and your exceeding great reward. To go through the persecution, to go through the accusations, to go through the insults and the bad mouthing. Because guess this, guess what? Here's another point you need to understand. Hurt people. At least they try to hurt people. But if you and him, say what you want to. Sticks and stones may break my bones. Now you can say, that was a nursery rhyme and we said that, you know, and it was real flimsy. But when you in him, it works. When you in him, it works. Oh my God! Thank you. Two points. I got 5 minutes. He said I got 5 minutes. All right. Okay. So, people not gonna like you. And people not gonna like you. I dealt with that this week. I couldn't believe this person didn't like me. I get along with everybody. I'm easy like Sunday morning. Come on. I mean, I roll with the punches. You okay? I'd have preferred to go this way, but hey, if it's going to help us get there, we'll do what we got to do. You don't like me? What's wrong? And I started letting that thing worry me. And I took it to God. I said, God, you gave me the peace that I walk in. It's being threatened by this individual. Father, touch her heart or move her. You know you can pray that, right? You know, God, the peace that you've given me, it's being disrupted. I'm trusting you right now, God. Lord, change their heart or move them. I'm getting a new assistant. Came to me Monday. We gonna have a new assistant. Because you don't like me, that's fine. That's your loss. Okay, number two. When you're rejected, overlooked, cast aside, don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. Is this too practical? Don't take it personal. That's how we know you're not in him. Then does that mean you're not gonna be emotional? Yeah, you may be emotional. I say it like this. Jesus was in the grave for 72 hours. Give yourself 3 days. Anything past 3 days, then we need to pray about it. Give yourself 3 days. If you're still there in 3 days, then you need to call for backup. That's for some of you. You see your friend, especially if they're a believer, if they're in a funk for more than 3 days, you need to come up. Come on, let's bring reinforcements. But don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. Don't take. And for Christ's sake, don't give up. Don't give up. Christians are quick to give up today. We're quick to give up. The Bible says, if you are easily offended, if you fall out real quick, it means your strength is small. Your strength is small. If somebody not speaking to you can take you out, that's some maturity that needs to take place. Huh. This 2 minutes. Number one, people won't like you. Number two, sometimes we're not likable. Sometimes we're not likable. 2 Timothy 4, verse 14, 15 says, watch out for Alexander the coppersmith. Fiercely opposed to our message, he caused no end of trouble. That's 2 Corinthians 4, 14 and 15. He says he caused no end of trouble. God will give him what he's got coming. That's the Message version. Many times we're our greatest rejection. How many times you talk yourself out of a blessing? How many times you talk yourself out of position? Many times we're our greatest rejection. You see, if we're not laboring and working to be our best, listen, don't be shocked when people reject it. You can tell when you've given your best. You can tell when others have given their best or not. And so if you don't give your best, and don't be offended if don't nobody want it. Why are you gonna push a lame sacrifice on me? We cancel ourselves out. We reject ourselves if we half do stuff. Okay, all right. All right. Oftentimes it's not us against the world, it's us against ourselves. When we get into a situation, we could throw a fit, or we could try understanding. We could try understanding. Oh, God. People want to hang out around people who are merciful, full of joy, compassionate, honest, integral, patient. Don't count yourself. Don't reject yourself and the things that God would lay before you. We're our worst enemy many times. Third one. Live a life you're not ashamed of. Live a life you're not ashamed of. That way, when rejection, persecution, misunderstanding comes, you'll know where you stand. If you are faking in front of folk, you don't know if they like you or don't like the character you just portrayed. If you're giving people what you think they want, you won't know if they like you or the character that you are portraying. Live a life you're not ashamed of. Live a life so that if they do reject you, then you know, okay, you don't understand the gift that's within me. Hallelujah. If they do reject you, then you understand you're rejecting what God is doing in me. Oh, God, if you're living a life that you're not ashamed of and they happen to reject that, then that should make it easier for the separation. What do you mean, Pastor? If they're rejecting the gift that's in you, the anointing on your life, if they're rejecting that, then you know, okay, it won't work here. Let me find out where it will work. Why are you trying to beat a square peg into a round hole? Be comfortable living. Live a life you're not ashamed of. So if the rejection comes, you know, okay, that's God saying, not this one, maybe this one. Not this one, maybe this one. Mm-hmm. There was this girl that I was kind of sweet on, say before First Lady. Kind of sweet on. And we went to church. I mean, that's my life. We went to church. And I thought she was nice. I thought she was... she was cute, you know. And so I wouldn't, but I heard her, how she talked. And I said, oh, God's not there. But I liked her. And I kept hearing, she was telling me all the time, God does not live here. Listen to the people when they tell you. I'm going to be honest. Can I be honest, Chris? I'm going to be honest. I was listening, but I wasn't hearing. Because I saw Lord have mercy. I saw thank you, Jesus. I saw Lord, look at what the Lord has done. So I heard, but I wasn't listening. Every day she was telling me, the Lord doesn't live here. God doesn't live here. And so what that did, it caused me to change my approach. And when she found out, you go to church? Well, my dad is the pastor. oh, you go to church? And her faith, her countenance changed. And it's then that I knew, this is not the one. The gift that God has put in me, the anointing that's on my life, when that is rejected, when I share that with you, when I'm up front with you about that, and you reject that, that is not a hit against me. You don't like what God's doing here. Why would I stay here and you don't like what God's doing? Because listen, if I become who I am, I'm going to let you see God. You got to see God. And if you don't like it, then I can take my ball and go somewhere else and let God lead me where I'm supposed to be. Amen. This scripture, and I want to leave with this. Let's stand. I'm going to leave with this. Y'all got some out of this? So much I left on this table. Michael deal with it in Bible study this week. Romans 12. I want to read it. It's lengthy reading, but I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this. Beginning with verse 9, Romans 12, 9. It says, love from the center. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants to the master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. Bless your enemies. I say bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Ooh. You may not say it out loud. How you doing? Good morning, you no goods. You slew foot. What is slew foot? My grandma would always say slew foot. What is slew? I never knew what slew foot was. I'm like, is that a brand of shoe? What is that? I don't know. It says no cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends. When they're happy, share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. We said such a much back home. Such a much. I'll tell you about it later. It says make friends with nobodies, underdogs. Make friends with nobody. I would go into the cafeteria, and I look for the person who was sitting by themselves. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Pausing for dramatic effect. Don't hit back. Let's talk. Let me remind you of the elementary rule. If you hit back, you're the one that's gonna get in trouble. Because we're gonna see you. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. You get to hear that. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. Hallelujah. There are a couple of Christian verbs in there you need to hear. Love, affection, honor, diligence, serve, rejoice, be patient, pray, give, weep, laugh. Those are verbs that God is looking for us to practice. My Academy Music. This message hit me particularly these last 4 or 5 days. Because of the rejection I felt, I didn't step all the way out, but I was out enough to get hit, to take it personally. I got offended. And I'm talking to believe. If you are a believer in God and you've had the touch of God, you felt his spirit, you felt his breath breathe upon you, you know what it's like to be in his presence. And when you're not fully in him, come here, Ron. I need you to see this. Here's how I was. When I got offended, I was like this. I was a shallow Christian. I went all the way in. And that put me in just enough danger to get hit. And I got offended. And it came to a head when that person who had offended me, when it got weird. You ever been there? And God convicted me. I said, God, why would you do that? He said, because I need you to understand where you are. I was convicted. Here's what I was doing tangibly. When I saw that person coming, I would do this. And I asked myself, I said, what's wrong? I could feel myself doing it. I couldn't look her in the eye. She wronged me. Why was I not looking at her? Because I was like this. Because I know better, but I'm not in position to do better. I know better. I know that regardless of what she does, I have to still stay in him. And what I learned, Desmond, was that in those awkward moments, he gives me strength. When I was halfway out, I couldn't look at her. Because Tony, when I look at her, I get mad. I start thinking about it all over again. But if I stay in him, I can look at you. Good morning, how you doing? Because you know what I'm saying? You ain't hurt me. You ain't hurt me, not me. Because I'm in him. I'm in love. And perfect love casts out fear. I saw, and I was like, I mean, my head just dropped. Like,
okay.
Like I had done something wrong. Fear will take you out of your position in God. More importantly, it'll take God out of your position, out of his position in your life. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus against the spirit of fear. And I pray into position its opposite, faith. Faith in you, your spirit, in the name of Jesus. Where fear may be present right now, whether it's fear of rejection, the fear of judgment, fear of failure, fear of the lack of finance, whatever fear is present, Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus for a transfer, that fear will be replaced, the spirit of fear be replaced with the spirit of God. That faith in you would be greater than faith in that thing. We thank you. We thank you. Help us to find our position and our place in you. So that when we are faced with insult, ridicule, rejection of any kind, we know that if we stay in you, that you'll take it all for us. You are our shield. You are our shield and our buckler and our exceeding great reward. We thank you today. We give your name the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Somebody give God a hand of praise. Thank you, sir.